everyone, welcome to episode 19 of Tea in the Treetops podcast.
This is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. I'm Philippa and with me is Angela.
Hello.
And today is Saturday, January the 17th, 2015.
Yes. Yeah, we've actually managed to get fortnightly than one this time. It's been a while since we've actually managed to do that.
That's right.
But yeah, we're going to talk about today. We've got a joint review of I Was Here by Gail Forman, which is going to come out at the start of February. So we both read that and we're going to talk about it today. And we've also moving on with the Happy New Year kind of theme. We're going to talk about some books that are coming out in 2015 that we're excited about that look pretty good. And then we'll just have a chat about what we've been reading and what's coming up. So let's get stuck straight into the review.
So the blurb for I Was Here by Gail Forman from Goodreads is, when her best friend Meg drinks a bottle of industrial strength cleaner alone in a motel room, Cody is understandably shocked and devastated. She and Meg shared everything. So how is there no warning? But when Cody travels to Meg's college town to pack up the belongings left behind, she discovers that there's a lot to Meg that Meg never told her. About her roommates, the sort of people Cody never would have met in her dead-end small town in Washington. About Ben McAllister, the boy with a guitar and a sneer who broke Meg's heart. And about an encrypted computer file that Cody can't open, until she does. And suddenly, everything Cody thought she knew about her best friend's death gets thrown into question. I Was Here by Gail Forman at her finest, a taut, emotional and ultimately redemptive story about redefining the meaning of family and finding a way to move forward even in the face of unspeakable loss. That's pretty full-on sounding blurb, isn't it?
Well, it is quite a full-on kind of book, really, because it's directly dealing with grief and suicide. Which isn't often covered in.
It's quite a taboo, confronting topic, suicide.
Yep.
Like if you think about it, even in the media, they don't often mention suicide. They don't use the word suicide on purpose.
That's right.
Because glamorizing it is obviously seen as not a good idea.
Yeah.
So what did you think?
Well,
it's not your normal type of book.
This type of book is basically the reason that I don't read contemporary, because it's always depressing kind of. Like, I know that this is real life, sort of, you know, it's a window on what really happens. And it is nice every now and again to read about someone's emotional journey when they're going through something like this. But it's hard, you know. Yep. It's not a very long book.
Gail Forman books are pages, but they manage to get a lot of bite into them with those short pages.
In some ways, this book is not. I didn't think it was really that gripping until right at the end. It was a bit slow in the middle. She goes to the town. She kind of bums around with Meg's friends.
Yeah.
I don't know. I couldn't bring myself to get so stuck into it that I had to finish reading it. You read it all really quickly.
I did. I read it pretty much in 24 hours, in a 24 hour window. So to me, and you haven't read or seen. You're not familiar with Gail Forman, so I haven't read all of her books, but I have read the If I Stay series, and I really like that. And while I like this book, I didn't like it as much, and I think the main difference between the two was the character of Cody, who's the point of view for the story. She just was really unlikable. Like, I just felt quite irritated by her. And while she was suffering, I just felt that actually did make the story drag.
Yeah. Yeah, because we were saying before, she is obviously very depressed and grieving, and that doesn't bring out the nice things about people. So
that's right.
But probably beforehand she was a nice person. It's just while you're reading it, you feel bad for thinking that she's really annoying, but she kind of is.
Yeah.
Kind of annoying.
And it's kind of a pity, because the good thing about If I Stay is both of those two books, and I hate having to, keep going back to a different book by the same author, but both of them do start with quite a shocking tragedy.
Yeah.
But the good thing about If I Stay is it was managed really well with flashbacks. So you actually got to know the characters in happy times and you got to see that. Well, this book didn't do that, and while you got a few memories of her and Meg, you didn't get very much, and I felt that that was the big difference between the two, and where...
So you don't get to know people first, so you can actually care that they feel that way.
That's right. That's exactly right. And, yeah, like, it was beautifully written, don't get me wrong, and I'm glad that she did something a little bit different, because you don't want the same thing from the same author all the time, but I just think that's probably the defining reason why... I don't think this will appeal to Gail Forman fans as much, as much as some of her other books.
There were other things about the story that I didn't get on with anyway. If you are listening to this and you don't want to be spoiled, then you might want to just skip forward a couple of minutes if you like. But I'll try not to be too spoilery. But she does have a relation, end up in a relationship with, or you know, going towards a relationship with Meg's friend, Ben, who is a musician, and who they only had, they were friends, and then they had like a one night fling, and then they split up again or whatever.
They got caught up in the heat of the moment, and that destroyed the friendship, let's be real.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. He was a strange character, like, because he was a musician, and he was, you know, hooked up with girls and then dumped them straight away, and it sounded like he was a bit of an ass anyway. And then he just sort of, She's really horrible to him all the time, but he's still really attracted to her. Like, I didn't get it.
For all that she painted him to be a really horrible person, I actually didn't get anything horrible. He never said he slept with girls every night. She made the assumption. True. All the phone calls were from his sister. Like, I think she had made a lot of.
She was good at making stuff up in her head about everybody, not just him. But yeah,
but what I thought was really, what really annoyed me about all of that is she thought he was so horrible for sleeping with her best friend and then calling it quits. And this really is a spoiler, so please, please, like, start singing for a second. But then she went and did the exact same thing, and she reacted the exact same way.
Right,
And I'm like, for all that, like. I like that it happened, though, because I felt that hopefully she learned something from that journey.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know if she did. And I think that's one of the things I really didn't like about Cody. For all that she actually got to experience some things that she was quite judgmental about, I don't know that she learned from it. I just don't know. Anyway.
The other thing the other plot thing that I didn't like was the hacking and stalking, basically, because she...
Breaking a lot of... Yeah,
she and Meg's other friend, like, basically hacked into Meg's computer and then went onto the online forums and stalked this guy until they worked out where he lived. And that's, like, it's not really something that you need to be encouraging people to think about doing, because it's an extremely bad idea. And then she went to try and find him.
That was dangerous. Oh, really bad. But I'm going to disagree with you there. I quite like that. I actually feel that if I had a friend that did something that I couldn't understand, I could imagine myself in that same position where I would start obsessing and trying to... I don't think I would go so far as to find the person and go and confront them.
Yeah.
I don't think I would do that. But I could imagine myself lurking on the forums and trying to find what she'd written to try and get an understanding of it. I thought that was actually very realistic. I really liked that. And I found that part of the story quite interesting. The only thing about it is I felt that she too much had obviously... I think that part could have been longer. There should have been more dialogue between Cody and the... Was it BS?
Yeah, all
2000 all BS, or what? All BS. If all BS and Cody, I think we should have seen more dialogue between the two of them, because I felt that too much was glossed over.
She did kind of jump ahead there.
And I think we needed to see how insidious, because you got given the impression that she was then starting to think herself of doing some dark and terrible things.
Yep.
But there wasn't actually enough interaction between them for you to really see that.
Yep.
Anyway, that, yeah.
No, I agree. That part of it did seem a bit rushed.
And I'm assuming they edited some of it out because it was getting too long or deemed as unnecessary. I'm not too sure. I felt that was originally longer and cut. I don't know if that actually was. But I got that impression in any case. Yeah.
Well, I guess the bottom line is if you are feeling down and, you know, you think that you can't be helped, you can be helped. Just please go and talk to somebody, and preferably not a suicide, you know, forum where people are encouraging you to.
No.
that's probably the worst place that she could have chosen to find help. But yeah.
But I don't think she wanted to find help. I think she wanted someone to push her over
the
edge.
That's true. It did seem that way in the end.
And I think that's what people that are looking for those forums are trying to do, which is very sad.
Mm. Yeah. Yes. So at this point, if we were a news article, we should say, if you're feeling depressed or whatever, call this number. But because it's kind
actually,
of international,
call Lifeline, which is ironic because we'll be talking about Lifeline for a completely different purpose later on in this podcast.
Yeah. No, there's plenty of help out there. Go and talk to somebody. You know, you're not alone. You know, there's help. So anyway, what rating would you like to give the book?
Look, I actually quite liked it. I know you might not be able to tell that from this review because it is quite a heavy topic.
Yeah.
But I'm giving it 3.5 stars.
Yep.
It was, look, there is no doubt about it. Gail Forman can write. It was a beautifully written book.
It was, and it did get the emotions going, even though obviously I didn't really like it that much, but you can probably tell.
But you didn't like it that much because it's not your genre.
Exactly.
That's a big reason why you're not liking it.
I haven't given a book 2 stars on Goodreads for a very long time, but I have this time just because, it wasn't for me. Like, I'm sure there are people out there who loved it, but I didn't want to read it. Like, I got halfway through and I went, you know what, I don't really care what's happening. I'll read it, the rest of it, but, you know, I didn't want to finish it because I don't like doing that. But anyway, I gave it 2 stars. But encourage you to pick it up if you are a contemporary fan because it did have really great writing in it. So,
all I can say is when you start reading it, try and remember this is from the perspective of someone that's probably undergoing depression.
Yeah.
Because she isn't the most likable character, but that doesn't mean she's not actually a decent person. Yeah. Anyway.
So, yes, if I was here, published in Australia by Simon & Schuster in the start of February, and I assume Simon & Schuster all over the world. I haven't actually looked that up. Okay. So next, we have, now, I've been having a look at, I've actually had a bit of time lately, amazingly, I don't know how, but I've been reading some blogs.
You're doing better
than
me.
For ages, I needed to do. And I found a couple of, there are loads of lists out there at the moment of books that are coming out in 2015, since it's the start of the year. So there's an article on SF Signal, which is a book, like obviously science fiction and fantasy related, online magazine basically, which is what 2015 science fiction, fantasy and horror books are you looking forward to reading? So it's a bunch of authors who've talked about other people's books basically.
Okay.
There's people like Bob Milne, I think Marianne De Pieris, who is an Australian science fiction and fantasy author. Anyway, a bunch of authors, and they've listed a whole bunch of books that they're excited to read.
Yeah.
So the main ones I got from that list, that's one of my sources, and the other one is an article on IO9, which was a mind-blowing science fiction and fantasy books to watch out for. And also we've added a couple that weren't on those lists that we're excited about. So to start with, there's a bunch of books that don't actually have release dates yet but are slated to come out this year, which may or may
so that
not
means
actually
probably
work.
End of the year, not first quarter, because most of first quarter would be pretty much determined
you'd be surprised
by now.
Like some of these lists have got books going right up to like October, November.
Yep.
So
okay.
They often don't have covers or anything, but they're still...
They've
anyway,
got
there's
the taglines and... Synopsis.
Yeah, so we'll go briefly. There's Winds of Winter by George R. R. Martin, which is the sixth book in the Song of Ice and Fire.
Wow, he got that one out fast in comparison to the last one. But book five, didn't that take like 5 or 6 years for him to write?
Oh, I don't know, because I've only just been reading them recently.
I think there was a huge writer's block type gap. You know how there was a huge block between book 4 and 5 of Harry Potter? Is this ever happening? I think that's the same. Book 5 must be the curse of these great writers. I don't know.
No, but he's under pressure now, obviously, because
the series
is going ahead. And they don't... I've heard that the producers of the series know what the ending is going to be, but they're not telling anybody.
Uh-huh. So I'm assuming that's going to be coming out around April. And the reason I'm assuming that is they're going to want to tie it in with the series season five, Game of Thrones, which I'm so looking forward to.
Yeah, well, I've got to read Dance with Dragons.
Four?
I haven't read it.
Is that four or five?
That's book five. Okay. I've got to read it. It's on my Kindle and I'm ready to read it. I just haven't done it yet.
It's so a big, daunting book, that's why.
Yes, I don't know how many pages it is, but it's close to 1,000 at least. So, yeah.
Yep.
We've got, okay, so moving on. Oh, who knows when Winds of Winter is coming out, by the way. Everyone's been waiting for it for such a long time.
But it's going to be April, not May, let's be real.
Well, there's
if
no,
they're smart.
They've got a lot of other sort of George R. R. Martin stuff coming out at the moment, even from the earliest books. So
I'm saying it out loud here. It's April.
Okay. We'll write that down.
From a marketing perspective, it'd be stupid not to. Anyway.
Well, the next one that doesn't have a release date yet is Doors of Stone by Patrick Rothfuss, which is book three in the Kingkiller Chronicles, which started with The Name of the Wind, which I just finished reading. Oh my god, why did it take me so long to get to
this series?
It's so good.
That's been on my to-read list, I think, since I first joined up from Goodreads.
Well, I'll talk about it later when we talk about what we've been reading, but I am going to start the next book in that series very quickly, and hopefully this Doors of Stone won't be too far away either.
Mm-hmm.
It is slated for this year, so we'll see. We'll move straight along to Thorn of Emberlyn by Scott Lynch, which is Lies of Loch Lomora.
Okay.
Book four. Yeah, I think book four. And I'm really looking forward to that because I'm in love with Loch and Jean. I think they're, or John, or however you pronounce it, because they're awesome. And they're just really good, fun kind of story. So, yeah, I'm in that. Loads of swearing, loads of, like, awesome insults and kick-ass action. Don't know anything about it, so we'll see. Apart from that, there's also a Discworld book coming out, Shepherd's Crown by Terry Pratchett, and we don't know when that's coming, but I haven't actually read the last Discworld book that came out. I have it at home, I just haven't read it, and being a long-time Discworld fan, I'm very ashamed of that, but there is another one coming out. So they usually tend to come out just before Christmas because I tend to get them for Christmas.
Yep. So you really are going to have a chance to get back to your epic fantasy roots.
I hope so.
Because they all sound epic fantasy.
Are quite fantastical, even if a lot of them are YA from now on.
Yep.
So yeah, it will be great if I can actually get a hold of all of them. Sometimes it's hard to get, sometimes they cost like, but Winds of Winter will probably cost like $40 or something when it comes out. So.
Oh, really?
they do tend to, and they only come out in hardback.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah,
hopefully the Kindle version won't be, because they don't produce ARCs or anything, that sort of thing.
Oh no, so not for writers like that. Yeah. Why bother?
There's no point in buying ARCs. So, we do have, these are the ones that have release dates that are coming up.
Okay.
We have one called Court of Fives from Kate Elliott.
I've a long time ago read another series of hers.
Yeah, she's got a series. I should have said at the start of this to prepare your to-read list. To be inundated with books that you want to. I'll put a full list of all these books on the post, so when you when we get to the end, don't need to write them all down now.
Yep.
Go to the post and have a look, and I'll link them mm-hmm. to Goodreads. So Court of Fives, Kate Elliott wrote another series which is like 7 books long or something.
Yep.
It started with King's Dragon. I don't think I've read any.
I've read the first 4.
Okay.
But, like, honestly, so long ago now, over a decade ago, I couldn't tell you anything about it.
Pretty sure that series finished.
Mm-hmm.
But now this Court of Five one is YA high fantasy.
Okay, so it's YA. Okay. Is Kate Elliott Australian?
No, that I don't know.
Okay, that's all right.
I won't look it up now.
No, we'll put that in the post, mm-hmm. either way.
That's coming out that's not coming out until August.
Okay.
But it sounds really awesome. We've got one called A Darker Shade of Magic, mm-hmm. which is by V.E. Schwab.
Is that Victoria Schwab? Just under a pseudonym change name?
Possibly.
Okay.
Coming out in February. It's about someone who can travel between parallel worlds and parallel Londons, in fact.
That sounds great.
That's where they've all got a different aspect to each of them. And mm-hmm. I can't... Now I've read the blurb last night and now I can't remember what it said, but it sounded really awesome, and I think I've requested a copy of that from somewhere, and hopefully we'll get a hand on that one.
Yeah.
We've got Uprooted by Naomi Novik, who is the author of the Temuera Dragons series.
I haven't read
which is high fantasy. Well, this one, she hasn't actually finished that series. The last book is coming out later in the year.
Another Isabel Carmody who's going to just keep dragging and dragging.
This other one that does not relate to that series. But this is a mixture of all different fairy tale kind of bits and pieces, which sounds really amazing. And it's coming out in May.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully her final... I haven't actually read any of those Temrail ones, but...
Well, hold off until she's finished the series.
Well, it's going to take a while to get through them all. There's like 15 of them or something. Oh, there's loads of them.
Yep.
Apparently they're great, but... and the last one that I got from this SF Signal one was called Magonia.
I've got that. A review copy. Have you? Yeah, I do.
So this by Maria Devana Headley. It's been described as Stardust by Neil Gaiman meets... Bolt in Our Stars by John Green. So that sounded like it's going to be interesting. It's like high fantasy or YA fantasy with a bit of a maybe a
I remember thinking it sounded great, hence why I requested a copy.
Yep, so it's not coming out till April, but
yes,
yeah, sounds pretty awesome. Right, moving on to this IO9 list. Flex by Ferret Steinmetz is coming out in March, and Flex is a drug that is laced with magic. It lets you change reality while you're tripping. So that sounds like it could be an interesting one. It's like I said, coming out in March, so I'll be...
See, that to me sounds like it could be a bit dystopian.
Yes, yeah, I think it was meant to be.
It seems like a Brave New World type idea, just except with magic futuristic, instead of...
Allows you to...
Whether or not it is, I don't know.
Alter reality. I think I saw that one on NetGalley.
Okay.
So if you're a blogger, then you can get a copy of that already. We've got an Ember in the Ashes by Sabah Tahir.
This is on my to-read list too. I don't know. I took one look at the cover and blurb and I was like, I must read this book.
It did look amazing. It's epic fantasy. So I don't think it's actually aimed at YA. But
I got the impression it was on a lot of YA recommendation. Came up. I found out about it because on Goodreads, you know how it says in the little corner, if you like this book, then have a look at this.
Right, okay.
I saw it there, clicked on it and went, whoa. So it was definitely, I don't know, but I have a feeling it's...
I've actually seen it recommended in a couple of different places by authors around the place. So
looks great.
Does look great. And it's, coming out April.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. It's a debut, so we'll see.
Yep.
We've got... Should have put this further up, but Fool's Quest by Robin Hobb, which is the second book in the Fitz and the Fool trilogy. So I read the first one last year, Fool's Assassin. Mm-hmm. It was really awesome, and it was very slow until right at the end when it all got, like, really awesome. So, awesomeness was packed into the end rather than the beginning. So I'm ready for some more brilliant storytelling in this second book. But it's not coming out till August, so we've got a bit of a wait for that one.
Yep.
Also in August, there's one called Mechanica by Betsy Cornwell.
I've requested this, haven't heard back yet. I'm hoping.
It looks good. It does look good. It's another Cinderella retelling where Cinderella is an inventor, which sounds quite similar to Cinder, but apparently...
Steampunk, though, instead of cyborg, I got the impression.
Yeah. It's not quite as science fiction as it is just, steampunk. So the cover is also really beautiful, that one.
Yes, it is. I'm not going to lie. I'm hooked in by a good cover.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. And that's the trouble with Kindles a lot of the time because you don't get to look at the cover. At least when you've got a book there, you get to look at it a bit. But and moving on from the Cinder theme, we have Winter, Marissa Meyer.
My goodness me, the cliffhanger.
It's been like a year since the last one already.
I know, the cliffhanger that book three ended on. Oh, my God, I want to read this so bad.
Winter isn't coming out until November.
Winter isn't coming in this case, not for a long time.
No, exactly. Winter is coming in November. Which it can't... Okay, maybe it's because it actually comes in the Northern Hemisphere.
I don't know.
That's next summer for us. Oh, gosh.
I know.
But there is Fairest, which is a... is it actually a short...
No, it's a prequel. I don't think it's a short story. Book. I think it's just a prequel.
Okay. That's interesting. So, yeah, that's due out later in January.
January?
Next week.
Okay. So, that's why Winter was pushed back. Because Fairest was coming out. But that's the prequel. It's a full-size book as far as I'm aware.
Yeah.
But it takes place before Cinder.
Exactly.
So I'm still okay with that. Not as excited, but still, I can put up with that.
Couldn't she just put Winter out first.
And because I think we need this, I think we need some of this backstory. That's my impression. Because my understanding was Winter is going to very much be up on the moon.
Yeah.
And this is about the Queen.
Yeah.
So I think we're going to need some of that backstory. That's right. That's my guess. Anyway, we will soon find out.
Well, it's coming out next slide. It's like the 27th or something. So
soon.
Soon. I need to try and locate a copy of that one. We also have Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas, which is a new series.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently a bit raunchy. It's a bit
a bit more new adult.
Yeah,
okay.
a bit more of the sexy times. I don't think it's coming out until May, but
There's no review copies around. Are there?
People in the US have got them, but I've requested. We'll see. I've actually emailed
Bloomsbury and begged.
Okay. Hopefully we'll hear back soon.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not coming until May, so we probably won't.
The Bloomsbury Australia, New Zealand, or UK, Australia, whatever it is, I can't remember. I feel that their NetGalley, they put it up quite late. So we can keep our fingers crossed that we'll get a copy.
And also from her, there's the fourth Throne of Glass book, which is supposedly coming in September. It doesn't have a title yet. But yeah, we only just had the last one, so seems to be every...
That's August-September release normally, so that's okay. Very exciting.
Yeah, that should be pretty good because the last one, the ending of the last one was...
Really good, yeah.
Exciting. And we've got a new one from Amy Kaufman and Jay Kristoff, who joined forces for evil and are making a kind of multimedia experience book, apparently, called Illuminae.
I'm intrigued. When we heard Amy Kaufman speak, I was intrigued then.
It sounds really awesome, and I can't wait. It's not coming till August, but, there's talk about it already around, so we'll wait with bated breath for that one.
Mm-hmm.
We have this. These are coming straight off my own to-read list, by the way. I've had them on there for ages. Shadow Scale by Rachel Hartman, which is the second Serafina book with long-awaited...
It is, because Serafina was great.
After reread Serafina.
Dragons and Music, two of your two favourite topics.
I know, it's just book made for you. And it's a great book as well, which I'm really happy about because some, expectations were high and it paid off. Apparently it's coming out in March. I didn't realise it was so soon. I haven't seen anything about it. That's been kept very quiet. Yeah. So, if I can't get a review copy, I'll be buying a copy of that one.
Yeah.
But we'll keep an eye open for that one too. And did you want to mention that one?
I added two that I've recently discovered that I'm quite excited for, and they're both in a very similar vein, which is books about books, one of my favourite topics. So the first one is called Ink and Bone, and it's by Rachel Kane. Now, I've never read a Rachel Kane book, but she's obviously got a huge fan base.
Yeah.
And I just thought it sounded fantastic. So it's not coming out till July, but it's all about like a alternate version of Earth where the Library of Alexandria never got destroyed.
Yeah.
So that sounded just exciting to me. And then the other one is by, I think, a debut author. So it's called The Invisible Library by Genevieve Cogman. It's just come out and it was sort of pitched as a book like Doctor Who, but with librarians and spies and secret agencies. And I was like, wow, that sounds fantastic too. So I've got to try and get my hands on a copy of that. Yeah. And I'm really hoping I get my hands on a copy of Ink and Bone by Rachel Kane, which I'm assuming will be a Penguin Australia release because they released her other series. So
she's the Morganville Vampires.
She's
right?
Morganville Vampires,
Yeah, that's Penguin. But I haven't really seen anything about that apart from on these kind of lists. So Yeah.
But July. So I'm excited. And look, there's heaps of other books too that I've actually had and read probably that I read a while ago that are coming out this year. But I can't think off the top of my head. And we could be here all day, let's be real, talking about our
reading plan for the rest. There's no way we could even get through all of those books in a whole year anyway. But if we can get, actually, that's not true.
Right. We could read that many books.
I read 80 books last year. Come on. Well, 70.
Yep.
78 or something. But there's some great books coming soon, so very exciting. Well, speaking of what we're reading, what have you been reading?
Okay, so I've been going on a bit of a contemporary angle over the last couple of weeks, which is a bit unlike me. So firstly, I've kind of kept this off the wayside. It's not really really suitable maybe for our podcast, but I got hooked into the Crossfire series by Sylvia Day, which is pitched as the next big 50 Shades of Grey. I went on a cruise over Christmas. I wanted some smutty, trashy books to read. And do you know what? It was perfect reading material. So I finished books 3 and 4, which is what the series is up to.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was great. I really liked them. Easy reads. They fit the description. I personally thought it was better written than 50 Shades of Grey. I didn't think 50 Shades of Grey was written very well.
Yeah.
But yeah, if you're looking for some mummy porn or just some trash, I do recommend that. So that's the Crossfire series by Sylvia Day. Mm-hmm. And then I've also read Crash by Nicole Williams, which is another contemporary. Now, I was slightly disappointed with that one because the front cover's got a ballerina on it. I knew it was contemporary. I thought it was going to be set in the real ballet world.
Yeah.
There was very little ballet in there. Oh. I was devastated. Oh. Very little ballet in there, but a lot of romance. And like I Was Here by Gail Forman, it was a bit full-on, like a lot of people from quite the rough side of life or, you know, lower economic classes. And I find them sometimes a little bit depressing because I feel like they just need a little bit more hope or something. So it was a bit hard because I read that and I went straight into I Was Here by Gail Forman. No. So I feel like I need something either a little bit more fantasy or, I don't know, a little bit more lavish lifestyle-wise.
Okay.
But so I've gone for the exact opposite, and I've just started For the Exiles by Melina Marchetta, which is the sequel to Finnegan of the Rock, which I finished and talked about last podcast, which was fantastic.
Yeah.
So what about you? What have you just finished reading at the moment?
I've got like 2 pages left of Doctor Who book.
That looks very old-fashioned.
The Myth Makers by Donald
it's
Cotton.
It's got like a Trojan horse or something on the front.
Yeah, because it's about they go to like the Trojan Wars basically and
see, that sounds fantastic.
Horse. Yeah, well, it's about this is published in 1985. It's like one of the it's like Doctor Who number 97, which because there's like now hundreds of the bloody thing, like multiple hundreds. And it's a first Doctor story, which haven't actually really watched hardly any episodes from the first Doctor. But the book itself was pretty good. It's very short, but I don't even know why I have it. Like it was on my shelf, and
maybe you picked it up at one of the book fests or something.
Well, either that, or I can tell by there's no price in the front of it. all I can think of was that it was my mum and dad's, and I ended up with it for some reason.
Okay.
But anyway, it's all right. So I'm just literally about to finish that. But that was my short kind of light relief after finishing The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss, which is really awesome.
Yep.
Actually, while I think of it, I had the book on the table and my 3-year-old son came up to it and went, "What's this book, Mummy?" And he's like trying to read the title, and he saw the big W on the front of it and he goes, "This book's called The Wizard and the Very Old Monster." What do you think it's about? He goes, "I don't know. Can you read it to me?" I'm like, "No, no, I can't read it to you." But he's not far off. I mean, Kvothe is a wizard, and he does magic, and you know there are monsters in it. So you know he's pretty good just by looking at the cover. But
that has been on my to-read list for forever. Probably since 2009 would be my guess. Has it been out since 2009?
Yeah, I think it was published in 2008.
Yeah, well, there you go.
and I got recommended it by a few different people, and then gradually over time I kept hearing more and more people said, "Read this book." And I can't believe I waited so long to read it because I loved it.
When you're a book reviewer with a lot of review copies, a lot of those sorts of things
I even had a copy of it for a long time because I got I think I won it in a giveaway or something. And it's been sitting on my shelf. But the funny thing with it is that I expected it to be some kind of epic kind of fantasy standard kind of going on a journey and have a big showdown at the end. But it's not like that at all because it's Kvothe telling his story to a guy who's writing it down for a chronicler who writes it all down.
So it's a bit more Hobbit-y and Lord of the Rings style.
Not really. It's more like it's almost like a TV series. Like there's episodes of stuff that happened to him in his life.
Okay.
So he did this stuff. His stuff happened with his family. Then he went to the university. then this happened, and then this other thing
so
happened.
It's all so segmented.
It's not really, it doesn't build up and up and up. It's just stuff happened. I mean, each individual thing is awesome, and I think it would make a really good TV show. I really hope that someone is going to take it on and do that. But, yeah, very funny as well, witty writing. And, like, I actually was reading one chapter. If you've read it, it's the chapter where he's on the roof with Master Aladdin and trying to convince the master to teach him. And they're looking at the wind and stuff. And I got to the end of the chapter, and I was actually laughing out loud. Like, I had to put it down and just go, oh, my God. It was so funny. Anyway, I recommend it to everyone who loves fantasy. Do it. It's worth it. It's great.
It's worth the huge and, page count.
It is like 700 and something pages.
I thought it was about 800. Yeah,
it's big, but have I still got it here? It says 662 on Goodreads. Oh. I don't know about that. I think my copy might be a bit more.
That hardcover one probably has
more writing on each page or something. I don't know.
Well, the bigger pages.
I'm pretty sure it was. Actually, the copy I've got is this really tiny paperback version.
Yeah,
it's about
so
that
that's
big.
All, that'd be about 1,000
really
pages.
Thin pages. Yeah. And I couldn't read it at night time, because it made my eyes hurt when I was in the dim light. But on the train, it was fine.
Yep.
Anyway, that was great. And also, I was here, obviously. I read I Was Here. And so coming up next, I'm going to read The Mime Order. I know I said that I wasn't going to read any review books this month, but The Mime Order by Samantha Shannon is coming out in the end of the month. And I've been really looking forward to it, so I am going to read it.
So it just happens to kill two birds with one stone.
Exactly, yes.
Okay.
And that's the second book. The first one was The Bone Season, and
which I think won the Goodreads 2014 award, didn't it? Wasn't that one of the ones?
It might have been nominated.
Or it might
have
just been a nomination. Okay.
It won, but it was very good. It's like how would you describe it? Dystopian kind of steampunky.
Yep.
Magic using, I don't know how else to describe it, but it was very good. So I'm looking forward to reading that one. Okay. Have you got one in mind coming up?
I think. I just literally started For the Exile, so I've got to finish that. But I think I'm going to probably read Tear You Apart by Sarah Cross, which is a fairy tale retelling. Now, it's the second in a series, but I don't know if they're necessarily a series. I think they're more like companion novels, so same world, but I don't think they're necessarily linked. I actually reviewed one of my very first review books that I ever did was the first one, which I can't remember the name of, which is really sad. But the first one was really great fun. I really liked it. So I'm looking forward to that. So I think I'll give that one a go next.
Okay.
But cool. I have a lot of review books at the moment. So I've really got to have a sit down and really have a think because I've been a bit ad hoc with them all. I've got a lot of reviews to write. Yeah. Both kids in daycare as of next week. So I might get some of those done finally.
Yes.
We will see.
While you've got the spare time, make the most of it.
That's right. In amongst applying for work.
Yeah. Well, good luck with it all.
Yeah.
All right. Did you want to mention that
Yes. So I have finally convinced Caitlin, who has had a bit of a anti-reading phase, not wanting to be read to at bedtime. She's finally got back into it a little bit. So we have been going back to chapter books. And the chapter book that she picked from the library just sounds... I don't even know how to begin with this. It was everything pink and girly you could possibly shove into a book. It was called Fairy Ponies, Midnight Escape by Zanna Davidson.
So it's not My Little Pony.
Not My Little Pony, but it's about fairy ponies that live in a magical world in a big oak tree, and that's small.
Yeah.
Anyway, look, it was about 100 pages. We read it over 2 days. Unfortunately, my child does not like sleeping at the moment. She never likes sleeping, but she really doesn't. So I did a lot of reading out loud over those 2 days.
Mm-hmm.
She loved it. I was not so impressed. It was a pretty simple story. I don't know.
A 4-year-old.
Yeah, it was very simple. It hit a lot of stereotypes that I didn't like, but anyway, I don't know how to describe it. Just, you know, mean rich girls, that sort of thing. I don't know. Look, it's all very two-dimensional, but can you really do much more in a small book? I don't know.
No, exactly.
Anyway,
easy concept.
Fairy ponies, perfect for your 4-year-old girl who likes princesses.
Yeah. Well, we haven't actually done much reading lately. We finished James and the Giant Peach, and then we watched the movie.
Yep.
And Actually, speaking of movies, we could mention we went to see Big Hero 6.
Oh, brilliant. Oh,
that was great.
It was.
Yeah, recommend that. Go and see that. Definitely. And we did go with all with our children, and they loved it too. So
though there was a bit scary.
It was a bit scary. Yeah, Matthew did tell everybody that it was a bit scary.
So to but out loud for the entire cinema to hear.
Matthew's like, I think we should go home now. This is getting a bit scary. I'm like, they're going to be okay. Don't worry. But it's not really that scary. It's just that. Well, it actually kind of is that scary when the baddie's like, you know,
he's got a mask on
and he's coming after them. Yeah. And they're having a big chase.
I could imagine it was quite scary.
Yeah.
I just loved it because it was just a really good blend of Western cinema and like Japanese manga. So I can't remember the name of the director, but he did Howl's Moving Castle, Ponyo.
Oh, okay.
He's huge over there, huge, Spirited Away.
It had a very big vibe of that Japanese style.
It did, yeah.
It was still Disney, but it wasn't a complete Disney. And I just loved that mesh of the two. So
I love the city, the architecture looking.
What was it, San Franokyo?
San Franokyo.
It was just beautiful. This mix between San Francisco and Tokyo. It was just great. I'm very impressed with Disney. It was not a typical Disney. I loved it.
Exactly. Yeah. So very enjoyable. Yep.
And I'm out to see Into the Woods tonight, which I'm assuming is going to be a very typical Disney based on reviews. We will see. I know nothing about it. It was a musical.
I'm going to have to try and see it at some point. I can't go tonight, but yeah.
I will tell everybody more about Into the Woods next podcast.
Yep. All right. The other thing that's on it this week, it just started today. If you're in Brisbane, the Lifeline Book Fest is on. Yep. Until next weekend, until the 26th, actually, which is a Monday.
Mm-hmm. It Australia used to just be a long weekend thing, and now it's obviously moved to a week-long thing. Must be really popular.
I don't know if they just couldn't shift as many books in a weekend.
Yeah.
So if you don't know, the Book Fest is just basically Lifeline is a charity that people can donate their unwanted things to, but people donate a lot of books to them.
Yeah.
And they have this is the way they get rid of the books, basically. They have this big... It's in the Brisbane Convention Centre. They just have this massive room to fill it up with tables full of books, and they're usually only a couple of dollars each.
Yeah.
And
that's a great cause. Going back to Gail Foreman's I Was Here, it's all for crisis support and suicide prevention. So definitely a good cause.
So that starts today, actually, and goes until next weekend. So I'll be there sometime during the week picking up a few
bits and pieces. What days do you work? I might have to pop down to South Bank and if I'm child-free and pick up a couple
I'll probably go on Tuesday, I think.
Okay.
So
that might be a go-up.
Mm-hmm. Would have been the previous year because last year I had a tiny baby. I picked up the whole of the Harry Potter series.
Oh, okay. You left yours in the UK, didn't you, when you moved back here?
Yeah, I only had a couple of them anyway, I had a copy of Deathly Hallows that I bought in America. Mm-hmm. I brought that home with me, but I needed a copy of book 1 to 6, and I picked them all up, and they're in good nick too.
Yep.
I think I paid about $40 for six of them.
In Australia, $40 for six books is brilliant, by the way. Just to put it out there. It might not be brilliant anywhere else in the world, but in Australia, it's good.
The Harry Potter box sets that you can buy here are like $150. Yeah. So, yeah. And speaking of Harry Potter, actually, this is a great segue. They just announced that they're bringing out, Bloomsbury are bringing out, illustrated Harry Potter editions.
They look gorgeous. The covers are beautiful.
They're just beautiful. Like paintings and sketches and just gorgeous.
I'm so tempted to get this so that when Caitlin is old enough to be read Harry Potter, we can read it with the illustrations. Anyway.
It's not due out until October, so it'll be just in time for Christmas, of course. It's going to have hardback ribbon marker, head and tail bands, illustrated end papers, and artwork on every spread. Does that mean that, like... What's a spread?
I'm not too sure what that means.
I'm not sure about the publishing terms here, but from the artwork they included with the press release, it's amazing. So
it's I just want to look though. It looks like it's been done more for older, but I guess the original Harry Potter kids are getting older. Like if you started reading Harry Potter when you were 7 or 8, how old are you now? You've got to be in your 20s, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so this is, I think, designed for those people that remember it from their childhood because the artwork, I don't think, is really for today's well, 7 or 8 year olds. Not I mean, that they wouldn't enjoy it, but
a happiness and bubble story, really.
Is well, the it? First couple are.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, I just wanted to have a look at it. I don't yes. even. I can't imagine how much it's going to cost. Probably a fair bit, but it just looks like it's going to be gorgeous. So yeah. To buy a new copy of all of them will be a bit decadent, but
I might be tempted. Willing to do. Yeah, I'm pretty tempted to. But I'm like that. If I have physical copies, I like to have copies that I read and copies that don't get touched that stay in perfect pristine condition. If I had a lot of space, I would do that more.
Well, I did have a post a few months ago about beautiful hardback editions of things, so I'll have to just add that in. I think
because yeah. it. Oh, I'm still in love with those Neil Gaiman fairy tales. They're beautiful.
Be really lovely.
Yeah.
So okay, well, I think that's almost all we've got to talk about today. Mm-hmm. There's a fair bit. So this week on the blog, there's not a lot there because we're all. I'm still sorry. Very busy. That's all right.
I've been really
don't apologize.
Had a big holiday from the blog.
Yeah, and Natasha's still on holidays. I think.
I think she's just back. She's jet lagged.
Yep. So she'll be back soon. I have not had a chance to write any reviews or anything, so I need to whip myself back in shape too. But so hopefully soon there'll be some more stuff on there. But it's a bit quiet at the mm-hmm. moment. But never mind.
We have a great top 10 though. I really like the topic.
Which one?
Which was the books that have been on our shelves. Oh, the longest that we haven't read yet. I think that's great.
That's coming up on Tuesday. We have a list. Yeah, books that have been on our shelves for ages that we haven't read. Yeah, we do.
I feel like we need to take pictures of our bookshelves with them on there.
Yeah, it was hard because I've got a lot of review books that I've had for ages that I haven't read. Oh. But then I found these other ones that
I actually took as in physical copy books.
Yeah, yeah.
And I had more.
Like I had, there's also books that I've bought since we started blogging that I haven't read yet because I have, they're not review books.
Oh, sweetie, those books that I mentioned about since like 2007. And the sad thing is I was totally excited at the time to read them. Yeah. But then I got caught up with other things and didn't. And then I got hooked into this whole YA thing and then I've just never managed to leave it again.
Yeah, that's true. It's a bit like that. Yeah. So that's coming on Tuesday. So check it out.
Mm-hmm.
All right then.
So if you'd like to send us any feedback or suggestions, please do. You can email us at contact@teamoftreetops.com or get in touch with us via Twitter @TTreetops. Of course, you can also see all our book reviews and other booky topics at the Team of Treetops blog, which is teamoftreetops.com. Thanks so much for listening.
Yep, and we'll catch you again in a couple of weeks' time. Bye.
Bye.
Good afternoon, customers. If you happen to come into the library today with an iPad mini that you do not have with you right now, come to the check-in room, please.